Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
Well, good morning to you. I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. We're going to discuss seven myths about money on today's call. The word myth is not in the King James Version of the Bible. However, it's defined by dictionary.com as any invented story, idea, or concept. Myths, like lies, always seem to have a layer of truth wrapped around them. Let's look at the seven money myths. First myth, money determines your happiness.
1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, in the New International Version. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever.
The word world here is describing the system of the world. If we crave things and pursue money to fill this need that we want to, that we want it for our own pleasure, to feed our own ego, well, with each new purchase, we feel we have somehow arrived on a higher plane than those around us. Not true. Things, though, are not the real problem. It's the pursuit of things above all else. When things become idols, we have placed their value above our obedience to God. If we live in the world system, and we do, or we're in the world but not of the world, and have swallowed the lie that things will bring us happiness, we're going to always, well, somehow feel cheated when others talk about what they have, humiliated at our own apparent lack of things, frustrated that we're not smart enough, cool enough, or fortunate enough to have things, envious of those who have acquired many things. There's a great freedom that comes when we determine to be confident and find our inner happiness in God's values, our faith, and relationship. Paul learned to be content in all things, finding his contentment in his relationship with God.
1 Timothy 6, verse 11, Paul says, flee from all this, the desire to be rich and pursue righteousness. Let me read that again. Flee from all of this, the desire to be rich. And this is what he tells him. And pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Last night on the call, we made the point that you pursue God, not money. And when you pursue God, then money will follow.
Second myth, money means success. People may place more value on a person who's acquired much in the way of possessions and wealth. They see the accumulation as a symbol of honor to be highly respected and sought after. There are many who've acquired great wealth that are honest, trustworthy, industrious, generous, hardworking, and they live balanced lives, which sees their wealth in a, they see their wealth in a proper perspective and use it in honorable ways. There are also some, many if you will, who paid an incredible price in the pursuit of money, lost relationships, family breakups, alienated spouses, or perhaps a health breakdown. These are definitely not the signs of success.
Luke 12, verse 15, in the Message Bible. Speaking to the people, he went on, take care, protect yourselves against the least bit of greed. Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot.
Many people appear to be successful as they drive up beside you in their expensive car, wearing their expensive clothes, speaking on a cell phone from which you can see the glitter of their gold watch as it catches the sunlight. They may drive into their driveway and just don't know. They could drive into their driveway and into a night filled of fretful bill paying, trying to stay ahead of the bill collectors. Accumulation of things and money is not the only sign of success. Third myth, money is our ultimate security. Many people have the attitude, the more money I can possess, the more I can store up. Money will give me security against the unknown. A big bank account, great assets, a large financial portfolio is not always as secure as it seems. Economic bad times, a turn in the market, dishonest accountant or unexpected medical problem can turn the corner and rob us of what we had before we knew what happened. In God's kingdom, we own nothing.
Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Actually, there's a great security in that. Understanding that God owns everything helps us to stay in balance when it comes to thinking our financial state is our security. In Proverbs 11, verse 28, we're warned, he that trusteth in riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. We need to make no mistake about it. God is ultimately, believe me, in control. 1 Samuel 2, verses 6 and 7 says, the Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts, all in accordance with the principles that we're putting to work. God wants us to work hard, plan, reach our goals and dreams, but to hold loosely the things in our path. Matthew 6, verses 25 and then 32, the last part of 32 says, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them.
We must have a spiritual perspective on this. See, things acquired on this earth will not last forever. They're temporary. What we do for the kingdom of God in the way of investing in the kingdom and in people's lives, see, that will matter for eternity. If we exhaust ourselves in the pursuit of things, even good things, our journey will prove fruitless as measured against eternity. God is our ultimate security, and he counts on our trust, a hard thing to do sometimes for some of us. When we no longer have to spend our time and energy trying to build up a stockpile of money, we can be free to enjoy life and spend time and energy on the things that are important. Fourth myth, money is the answer for peace and contentment. While it's true that paying off our bills will eliminate much tension and frustration and improve relationships, too often underlying and unresolved problems within relationships will cause that tension to pop up again. The peace that we face or we're enjoying will be short-lived. See, discontent can sneak in the door and eat up the last of our contentment if we don't resolve and turn to God to resolve all areas of our lives. People who get in trouble in their finances have to change their thinking and their habits, or within months of paying everything off, they'll be faced once again with the same problem. I've seen this happen so many times. I traveled in the city 1 year, people debt-free. Travel back next year, credit card debt again. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, "Godliness without contentment is great gain." Contentment is being thankful for what we have, rather than always looking and searching and focusing on what we don't have. 5th myth, but you can't say that real fast 5 times. 5th myth, money will make my marriage or my family life better. With arguments over money subsiding, often other issues will rise. Then disappointment sets in. I thought things would be better when we paid off the bills. Nothing's changed. We're still arguing and fighting and frustrated most of the time. All the money in the world doesn't remove the root causes there in dysfunctional relationships. Until the root causes are dealt with, examined, laid before the Lord, management of money can only compound the problem. 6th myth, more money will make me a better steward or manager. Stewardship may be a word that we hear annually in a pastor's fundraising sermon, but it's much more than that. Stewardship is managing another's property. As Christians, we know that God owns everything, and we're to manage what he's given us, and that we're to consult with him, listen as he tells us what to do with it, and be concerned with it. 2 Corinthians 5:9 and 10 tells us that we will one day stand before God and give an account for every decision we make. The ironic part of being a good steward of what we have right now will bring blessing to us and cause better things to happen in our lives than our own manipulation of finances.
Matthew 24 verses 45 through 47, Jesus asks, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant, who the master has put in charge of the servants of his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions."
God is waiting for us to turn our eyes toward his plan and promises for a truly, truly abundant journey through this life. 7th myth. These money scriptures apply to everyone but you. That's definitely a myth. I'm going to read you 3 scriptures. I know we're late, but let me do it real quick. These all should be personalized by you. 3 John 2. "Beloved, I wish above all things that they may prosper and be in health, even as his soul prospereth." Psalm 112:3. "Wealth and riches shall be in Randy and Laurel's house, and their righteousness endureth forever." Proverbs 10:22 in the Amplified. "The blessing of the Lord, it makes Maya rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it." If you like these personalized scriptures, go to haroldherring.com. Click the button that says personalized scriptures. Listen, these verses apply to every person breathing on planet Earth. It's time for us to rid ourselves of money myths. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. At the top where it says sow a seed, ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.